This is the Arise Ministries Collective podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage the body of Christ in biblical truth and understanding. We believe that when women have an authentic and growing relationship with Jesus Christ, truly know God's Word, and are dependent on the Holy Spirit, they become powerful and influential vessels for the kingdom. I'm your host, Lisa Da Silva, and today we're sitting down with Erin Kessler and Mary Straker. They are the co-authors of the Advent study, He Will, available as a free download on our website right now. He Will is a two-part, four-week printable resource that takes participants on an in-depth journey through the first two chapters of Luke. So Erin and I have been friends for many, many years, I think 11 years since I moved here, and Mary and I more recently. And when I had my first glimpse of this resource, so you guys sent it to me and I read the introduction, and I immediately wanted to defend you both. So for anyone who's read this introduction already, you may understand where I'm going with this. It sounded at the beginning like the two of you were disqualifying yourselves from writing this study. So I wanted to go in there and I started saying, oh, these are all of the incredible things and accomplishments that I know about the two of you. And I kind of wanted you to say those things, create a vibrant bio that would be true about all of the incredible things you've done. Erin is the mother of five children. Mm-hmm. And Mary has three kids. Three little, beautiful little girls, all under the age of five. And so I wanted you to say, well, these are the things that we do. These are the things that we are incredible at, because I see those things in you ladies every day. But as I read on, I realized that you were sharing these things very, very purposefully. You want women to know that you're not degree-holding scholars or seminary graduates. You simply study the Word. You know God through His Word. You have been changed by the Word of God. And you want every person listening, young or old, to know without a doubt that they can do this study you created.
Anybody. Bible is for everybody.
Speak to that a little bit more.
Gosh, I feel like there's so much to say about it. But our passion is just really that you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You have to be able to read and be able to write, probably, and own a Bible or borrow one. But if you can do that, you can learn about anything, really. But the Bible, you don't have to hold a degree from a Bible college to be able to read the Bible and know who God is. So you just have to be willing and spend time doing it. And anybody can be changed by that.
And so when some women sat down to do this, so maybe they got really excited about printing it. It has a beautiful cover.
Thank you.
And maybe they thought that this would be kind of a devotional.
Yeah. I actually was very careful in the words that I put on the cover, and I put study guide because it's not a devotional. But I think a lot of Advent resources are very devotional, and this is definitely not. And we even thought about telling people that it wasn't, but we didn't want to discourage anybody from trying to really dig into the scripture. So this really is more of a open up your Bible and we're going to pick it apart piece by piece to try to learn more about who God is and what He's doing in this story. And we just kind of go for it line by line, really.
I was very excited to dive in and get started. I started before it was published, and as I was editing it and going through it, answered some of the questions. And one of the things that I first noticed is that you don't give us a lot of background information or really guiding questions. So you expect those of us completing the study to do the work ourselves. And if I can be totally honest with you guys, it's hard. It's hard to sit down and wrestle through. There are times where I think, oh, you guys, you know, is there a difference between Zachariah and Mary's experience? Can you just tell us what you think? So this seems a little harder and more time consuming than many of the Bible studies on the market right now. Why? Why did you do that? We want women to know that they're capable of studying the Bible this way, that they don't need to depend on a study Bible or a pastor to tell them what the Bible says.
Or what to think about it.
Or what to think about it, exactly. They can open it up and think about it themselves and come to conclusions themselves.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. And just, we don't really give you anything except the question to mull over. Mm-hmm. I was actually just talking with a friend yesterday about this, and that is really intentional. We don't want to tell you what we think. We want you to find out what you think. And, you know, we believe that the Word is alive, that the Holy Spirit is alive, and what the Spirit wants me to know and what the Spirit wants you to know might be slightly different things based on what God has for us as individual people. And so it's important to sit down and invite the Lord into the process with you to reveal himself to us individually and just see where that goes. And I think that's been the beauty of the small group, which I think we'll talk more about later, but to hear so many differences. And even just yesterday, Lisa said something about some little thing she learned, and we were like, we didn't even catch that.
Right, I texted the two of you, and I said the Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit is feminine. I had no idea.
Thanks
for teaching me this. And so we're gonna pick different things out.
And then we learn from each other too when we do the study on our own, and then we come together to kind of share our process and
iron
what
sharpens
we learned.
Iron in that way.
We reveal new things to each other about what we learned, and then we kind of have another layer even to what we take away from it. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's also really okay to not know the answer right away. And we're so used to, if we have a question, we can just Google it. Like, we don't have to stop and think about it. But that's not really the way that the Bible is meant to be read. You are meant to meditate on it, to think about it, to wrestle with some of the more difficult things, and the Spirit will meet you there. He will lead you to what he's trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to not have the right answer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or it doesn't always come fast.
Yes.
Like, I feel like, you know, Mary and I have been digging deep into Luke for a while now.
Yeah.
And we're constantly like, it's coming together.
Yep.
And we've been at it for weeks and weeks. So it's not always an easy answer. Like, it might be something we've sat with for a month before it finally kind of makes sense to us. And that's actually really fun. That sounds super nerdy. But we have had a lot of fun. Like, and even I think throughout this process, this is our first time really digging in without a study guide from a professional teacher, and we just decided to go for it and try to prepare something for our small group to as their study guide. And we didn't really have, there wasn't one available for Luke like this. So we just decided, like, we're just going to try it and see if we can do it. And then all throughout it, we've been like, we're doing it.
We did it.
And what's incredible, too, the three of us have been chatting about, we have friends texting us saying, well, am I on the right track here? Can you just tell me what this is? And we love that. And I almost texted Aaron and Mary several times saying, I don't know if I'm on the right track here. Can you guys help me out? And really what you guys would do to anyone asking questions is ask them more questions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're not giving us...
No, I actually did that to a friend yesterday. I was like, well, I don't want to give you my opinion of what this means, but I'll point you to another verse you can look at that might clarify it for you. Or, because I think the beauty is us discovering for ourselves what it means.
And what the Bible is saying.
Yes.
We're looking to Scripture to interpret Scripture.
Yes.
Right. And so this draws me to my next question, because when you first sent this to me, I thought 4 weeks in the first two chapters of Luke. So why Luke? And why only
we thought
two
that
chapters?
At first. We were like, are we even going to be able to come up with enough questions? And now we're like, oh my gosh. We got to stop. We just got to put it down and walk away.
There's
or they're
so
going to never be able to finish this. There'll be so many questions. go ahead.
There's just so much there. I think that we thought that too. We were like, it's not even two full chapters, but it is the most detailed account of Christ's birth, and so that's why we went for it. And at the more we started digging, the more we just saw so much. There's so many fulfilled promises there. There's so many cross-references and things happening. The way the text is written with parallel stories, there's so much there that we could keep going with these two chapters.
I know, and I've actually been a little sad sometimes, like, oh, I want to keep going with Luke, because I feel like we're just getting to the start of the story, really. It's just, like, the introduction of Christ, and then there's all of Christ's work after that that's so exciting to look at, but we really just don't have time in this month to dive deep into that. But Luke has a really unique perspective, I think. Every writer of the New Testament has their own unique perspective, but there are four gospel accounts, and Luke's is kind of different, I feel like. I mean, they're each different in their own way, but Luke gives a very detailed perspective of Mary's story that, as moms, I think was kind of attractive to us, because, and I think interesting just for women to be able to relate to, because she was just a girl who had a baby, like, and that's, you know, who we are too. And so Luke does a really interesting way, and as you even read the first Luke's introduction, and he says why he's doing what he's doing, and he invests, he's like an investigator, and he really, like, I imagine him interviewing people, getting their stories from the way that he writes his introduction, that I have talk to people and I'm writing this detailed account of their stories. So I can just picture him sitting down with someone like Mary and tell me what happened, and he's writing down the most accurate version he can come up with. And so he just gives a unique voice to a lot of women throughout his whole gospel that's different from other, you know, in Matthew, he kind of just, it's, Christ's birth is super short. It's like, so Jesus was born, and then all this ministry happened, and then he was baptized, and it kind of launches into his ministry, and the account of his birth doesn't say anything about traveling to Bethlehem or any of these things. It's just a really brief kickoff kind of to Jesus' ministry. But Luke takes the time to, like, what happened leading up to his birth, the whole birth story. It's very detailed, and that's just unique from the other gospels. So that was interesting to us, I think, to figure out why is that story important.
And I think, you know, we cannot tackle this today, but as you were talking, I thought, how many times, Aaron, have you and I had the conversation about the four different gospels? Who they were written to, why they were written, why they're so different. Those things have become interesting to you and I over the years of learning to study scripture by ourselves. So if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, why was Matthew written that way? Why was Mark a little different? Why is Luke different? They had a very unique purpose, and that's something that you could investigate. Spend some time on. I also, when I was doing my study, so I finished the first week, and there were some cross references that actually took me longer than others, because at first I thought, I don't understand how this one applies, and I'd kind of have to read before and after. And I could see then why it's going to take us 4 weeks to get through these first two chapters, because we could have even spent longer.
For sure.
Absolutely.
There's so much to, I love how you said that Luke was an investigator. There's so much for us to investigate in these chapters. And so by the time this publishes, like by the time you listen to us talking, you will have journeyed through the first week. You may have even started the second week. And so you, as listeners, have answered questions. Can Aaron and Mary, can you recap some things that maybe at this point we should know, we should have discovered? You can even give us some of the answers now.
So we'll kind of just tackle the who, what, when, where, why.
Okay.
Basics, which is such a great thing to do with any scripture that you're reading, is to start by filling in those questions before you start. Because it just gives you kind of a baseline of, like, where is this person coming from?
Yeah, the
why
context,
are they writing?
Right.
Yeah, the context. So the interesting thing about Luke, he's so clever, I feel like. And I've never realized that before. And I've been a, you know, I don't even remember accepting Jesus into my heart because I was so little. So, like, the Christmas story, Luke 2, like, my cousins and I used to recite every Christmas. Like, we knew it.
Right. Yes.
By heart.
You knew it.
I probably couldn't now, but some part of my life I did. So it's been so fascinating to me to see all these new things that I never knew before when I've been immersed in Luke 2 pretty much my whole life. But one of the interesting things about Luke is he does not actually identify himself when he is writing. So we kind of, we actually, I feel like I can say this, we don't actually know for sure 100% certain that it was Luke, but it's a commonly held traditional belief that it was Luke as the author, based on other bits and pieces from history, from other places in scripture that Luke is mentioned. It's commonly held and respected that he was the author of both Luke and Acts, and that it was actually kind of written to go together, which I don't feel like
we
know, and it doesn't come in order that way in the Bible, so I don't think, like, I feel like I just learned that about a year ago, that Luke wrote Acts, too, and I was like, what? But it kind of goes together, hand in hand. It's, Acts is kind of the continuation of Luke. So, Luke is the author. We know that there's a few, Luke is actually mentioned by name only three times in the whole New Testament, so we kind of looked at just, what do we know about Luke from those verses? We know that he was traveled with Paul as he was writing his letters, which is kind of how we get some other information about Luke. We know that he was a physician, and we know that he was a companion of Paul's. Paul called him a fellow worker. So we know, like, he was kind of like on the road with Paul, taking care of him and other people as they went, and just sharing in the work of spreading the gospel about Christ. He's writing to, this one we actually debated about quite a bit, and it's interesting. I think people have different beliefs. It says it's written to Theophilus. We don't really know if Theophilus is an actual single individual, or the name Theophilus means, I just lost
Christ
it.
Christ learner.
Christ learner, friend of God. So it could be a broad scope of people. It is traditionally believed that it was an individual, I think. He might have been, like, a sponsor of Paul's ministry, or Paul and Luke's ministry. So it might have been like, hey, here's an update. I'm giving you all this information so that you can continue getting out there. He might have been someone who wasn't a believer, and Luke is sharing with him so that he could believe. There's a couple of theories out there, but it's written in there that it's written to Theophilus. The style it's written in is a historical narrative. That's what we call it. That's fancy Bible-y language for, it's just a historical account.
A historical story. A true story.
Yes, true story. He's writing the facts as he has learned them. So he says, well, I'll say when it was written. It doesn't say when it was written, which is so interesting about Luke. He just kind of gets right to the good stuff without, like, the fluff of the details of, here's who I am, here's where I'm writing from, or when I'm writing it. But based on, Acts has some more specific historical events that can be validated just by history. So that timing of Acts being written kind of helps us know that Luke was written before that. So we know that from history that Acts was probably written in the mid 60s. That sounds so weird to even say, but we're talking like 0060 AD, not like the 1960s. But so then, if Luke was written prior to that, it was probably the late 50s, early 60s AD. But we don't know for certain. And where does it take place? I mean, the story of Luke is describing Jesus' life and ministry. So all the places Jesus went. We don't really know where he wrote it from because they were on the road traveling. Right. But we know some possibilities. Caesarea, I don't know how to say some of these words, Acacia, Decapolis, Asia Minor, or Rome were all places they were.
Could have been any of those places.
He was kind of writing as he got stories from people.
Right.
So he probably wrote it from all those places. We don't really know. Why is Luke writing?
I love this because he's so clear.
Yeah.
He is.
He says, well, oh, I don't have my Bible out. I was like, should we just read it? But he basically says, I'm writing so that you may know the exact truth about what you've been taught. So he's making it really clear. Like, I have gathered the details, and I am writing down exactly what happened so that you can know. And
yeah, I love that.
And that it then it like to give them confidence, I think, in a way of like, you can know for sure that this has happened.
Right.
And then that will change
your really the all of these, the who, what, whenever we go to the Word of God, we ask ourselves who, what, when, where, why. Who, what, when, where, why. And sometimes that's not really easy to figure out. Yes. I do love that you gave us a place where we can go to get some extra help.
Because many books do start out with those answers are given. Luke really doesn't give us a lot to go on.
Yeah, and we there is grace, right? We wrestle and then we say, oh, this information's not here.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So like literally in the introduction I said, don't cheat. Yeah. Do the work yourself.
Yeah. And then here's
except
the
for that Luke doesn't give us those answers. Yeah. So this is kind of an exception. And there are some great resources out there. A lot of people have a study Bible that has kind of this introduction page. We would encourage people to definitely use that information at the beginning of your study and then put it aside and dig for your answers.
Yeah.
And actually, it was kind of fun with Luke because it's not there.
Yeah.
The digging was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just researched, who is Luke? I Googled a lot.
Yeah. The digging is interesting. And it's from that, I think, where we learn and we may not always get all of the answers. And and we want to be clear. You know, the Bible is our primary resource. The Bible says what it says.
Yeah.
Yes. Scripture interprets Scripture. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's not wrong to go to secondary sources.
Yes.
But we understand them as secondary sources.
Yes. Right.
So, Mary, we were talking about this whole Zechariah and Mary thing. So, in the study, Aaron and Mary had us look at some parallel stories. Mm-hmm. They had us really dig into Zechariah and Mary. How are they different? How are they the same? We had this little chart. We, all three of us, we discovered this morning, just chatting in advance of this, have had different people ask us questions about that. And so, Mary, answer this one for us. How do you, well, why did you guys decide even to include this? Mm-hmm. And if you can fill us in on some insight, because listeners hopefully have done this week already.
But they might still be stuck on that one.
They might still be stuck on that one.
I think, well, we wanted to include it because I think Luke includes it. And so we really wanted to go with...
We have over and over asked ourselves, like, what does Luke want us to know about...
Exactly.
Like, why is he telling this part of the story?
So that's what we're trying to draw out with that. We see that Luke writes first about John's birth foretold to Zechariah, and then he writes about Jesus' birth foretold to Mary. Hmm. And then there's parallel the birth story and then the birth story and then Mary's song and Zechariah's prophecy. They all kind of parallel each other throughout the way
Luke kind of goes back and forth between the two a couple of times.
So I think it's clear that he wants us to see the contrast between Zechariah and his response to the announcement that the angel makes, and then Mary and her response. And it's clear that we wrestled with this for a long time, really. We were like, I don't understand, because Zechariah asks a question and Mary asks a question, and yet Zechariah's response was not pleasing.
Yeah, he got a consequence for it, and a really harsh one.
He did. And yet Mary was praised as being righteous. And so as looking through them, I circled and underlined. Zechariah says, how can I know this will be true? And Mary says, how will this be? So she has the faith that this will happen. Tell me how?
Yeah.
And it's more of a question of what is my next step? What else do I need to do to be obedient in this?
Yeah.
And Zechariah, he's asking, you know, how can this be? We're old. I don't think that this is possible.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting, because you see Zechariah, he's described as a righteous man. He is a priest. He is
like, say he's like literally in the temple praying yes. for the Messiah to come.
Exactly.
And then the angel comes and says, hey, the Messiah's coming. And he's like, no,
I don't yeah. think so. So it's just not what you would expect.
Well,
you would
I think
expect...
he believed the Messiah was coming. He yeah. just didn't think that his wife, Elizabeth, yes. Yes. Have would have anything to do with it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you see, you would expect the priest to respond righteously. But instead, again, he has nothing to lose by gaining a son. He has been probably wanting this his whole life. Mm. And yet Mary is young, engaged. Mm-hmm. She is probably saying, I mean, when she agrees to this faithfully, she's essentially choosing social outcast. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's choosing, probably, she knows yeah. that Joseph will probably not want to marry mm-hmm. her anymore.
Mm-hmm. She's giving up everything.
Yeah, yeah, she's giving up everything. And yet she responds with faithfulness. So Luke is announcing that things are happening, the kingdom is coming, but not in the way that you would expect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love how, I feel like Luke's just brilliant.
He is.
Like, he's very clever, and as we were writing, we were like, oh, this reminds me of Abraham and Sarah. Yep. And then we're like, oh, he did that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's all these little kind of built-in reminders, but he's not really explicit, but they definitely are intentional to remind the reader of historical things that
right.
happened.
Right.
But,
and it's in some way it announces, remember that covenant yes. with Abraham? Well, yes. I am fulfilling it.
So I feel like Luke, one of the themes that we see in Luke is that he is saying, like, Jesus is here and he's doing things different. Mm-hmm. And that is a pattern that God has always used.
Yes.
Is that God is working in ways that we don't expect. Mm-hmm. And so he's kind of setting up Jesus in the first two chapters. But he's also drawing you to remember, like, this is not a new mm-hmm. thing. God mm-hmm. has always worked in these unexpected mm-hmm. ways. Mm-hmm. Think about Abraham and Sarah and yeah. how old they were.
Yeah. And Zechariah would have known those
yeah,
stories.
Yes.
He was a priest.
And Mary, too.
Yeah.
Like, they would have been familiar with those, Hannah and Abraham and Sarah, and that God works in yeah. unexpected ways. So I feel like Luke's very clever in his writing to remind us very subtly of, like, this is the way mm-hmm. God has worked
yeah.
before.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's kind of setting up, like, this is how Jesus is going to work, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it's going to be different than yeah. the kingdom we expect.
And participants in this study and listeners, if you haven't started and participated yet, go for it. It's not too late.
Yes.
You can do it.
Yeah.
I think what really spoke to me as I was going through this first week, first of all, I see a pattern that you guys are using. So you're first having us dive in, mm-hmm. do the hard work. I love that you start with, read this passage. Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about God?
Yeah.
So your first and foremost thing that you are guiding us through is, what does the Word of God say about God? Because mm-hmm. we so often read it as if it's a book for us. Mm-hmm. It's a book about us. It's a book mm-hmm. for us. What can I gain from this? Mm-hmm. If we read the first two chapters of Luke and ask ourselves with every mm-hmm. single verse, with every single piece yeah. that you guys have given us, what does this say about God? And then we tackle the questions, the content questions,
yeah.
the context
yeah.
questions, and then you bring us to the end,
yeah.
which is application.
Yeah.
And when you were talking about Zechariah and Mary just now, and you asked us in the application questions this week, okay, what did you learn about God? How does that then apply to your own life? And mm-hmm. this was incredible for me because, and I texted both of you actually this week, because Mary ends with saying, nothing is impossible mm-hmm. with God. Nothing mm-hmm. is impossible with God. And you asked us in the question, are there things in mm-hmm. your life that you might doubt?
Mm-hmm.
How exactly did you say that? Tell us, Erin. You have your whole study out here. How did you ask
this
that
is my clean copy.
Last question?
Is
there something?
Has there been or is there a circumstance in your life where you, like Mary, need to remember that nothing is impossible with God? Or another question, is there something in your life that you feel like God is asking you to do or act on in obedience and faith? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know that Mary was getting asked a question. It was kind of like, mm-hmm. here's what's happening. But she got on board.
Yeah, it was trust. Yes. All trust, right? Yes. She knew that God was sovereign.
There was
she
no, like, God please don't do this to me.
Right.
Yeah.
This will ruin my life. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, okay, tell me how.
And yeah. you guys had us look at the prophecy that would have led up to this. So mm-hmm. I wonder, too, and I'm speculating here, mm-hmm. would Mary have known these things?
Yeah.
And
thought, we talked a lot about that.
I think it's likely that she would have.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think, like, in Jewish tradition, it's a very oral tradition.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, I'm not...
Mary was Jewish.
I'm not an expert in Jewish things, but I do enjoy looking at them.
Right.
But I think the tradition is that the men would go and learn all the things and then come home and teach their families. Mm-hmm. So, I think these would have been stories that Mary was really familiar with. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, her family was Jewish. I mean, and if you keep reading in Luke, you'll see the family tree that goes all the way back.
Yeah.
That Jewish, all the way, you know, they're Hebrew people. And so I think these stories have been told and retold and retold yeah. down the line. So they're familiar to Zechariah and Mary and their people.
Yes. Right. And we have these stories too.
Yeah.
So I just, it's been so powerful for me because I did the hard work. I studied the stuff. And then all week I've been thinking, how am I responding to this? Mm-hmm. Am I believing that nothing is impossible mm-hmm. with God? Do I trust him enough? Do I trust yeah. his sovereignty? It's a busy season, mm-hmm. right? Christmas is just mm-hmm. busy. We have yes. all of these expectations on us. Gift buying, gift
parties,
wrapping.
Yeah, concerts.
Make the house look pretty. Cook some really good things. Fulfill tradition. Yeah. So it's busy. Some of our readers and listeners, they, you know, in addition to it being a really busy time of year, they may not be used to this kind of study. They might have thought they were printing a devotional, and instead they printed a study, and they may not have finished last week. Yeah. They may have thought, this is too much for me, I can't do this. Maybe they don't think they have the time. Maybe they don't think they are able. Mm-hmm. So let's end our segment with this. Mm-hmm. Can you encourage us?
Mm-hmm. How do you do it, Mary?
We believe the Bible is for everybody. Yeah. So Erin with her 5 kids, the Bible is for her. And me with my 3 kids who are not yet in school.
Or a single girl who's working.
Yes.
Or absolutely.
You know, my mom is doing the study too. I don't know if she'll listen to podcasts. I'm not sure she knows how to do podcasts, but, you know, any person at any age can do it.
The mm-hmm. Bible is for everybody. Yeah. So, I mean, I do it, I wake up a little earlier than I'd like. I give up some sleep, but what I really do is I just have it open on my kitchen counter, at my kitchen mm-hmm. table throughout the day, and
so you're studying your Bible. You just have open on your...
Mm-hmm. Okay. Or if I'm doing a Bible study, I try to read the passage... Hopefully when they're asleep and silence is still a thing. And then throughout the day, I just have my study open and I'm answering questions mm-hmm. just one at a time. Or sometimes I might get a random, you know, hour or two chunk that I can get a lot done. But for the most part, it happens bit by bit. And you just have to take one step and do it. And also, I think it's really important for busy people, I can speak to my experience as mom, to expect interruptions. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be this peaceful, quiet time with the Lord. It's mm-hmm. going to be answer a question and then get somebody a snack, answer a question, change a poopy diaper. And you will be interrupted, but that doesn't mean that it's not worth doing.
Yeah, it doesn't diminish its value.
Right.
That
it
doesn't
still
mean it's
so
not worth
valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do it different. I don't even do it every day sometimes. Mm-hmm. The way my family life is right now, my kids are all at school, so during the school day is when I have quiet time. So I often will sit down once or twice a week and do an hour or 2 hours, you know. I feel like this is doable in like 1 to 2 hours a week, which might be more than some people are used to spending. It's not a 15-minute per day kind of devotional. It really is a study. It's work. I mean, we could have called it a workbook mm-hmm. Because it really is just guiding you to do your own mm-hmm. legwork. Mm-hmm. And I was telling a friend yesterday that I feel like for me, I remember and retain so much more when I work for it than if someone just gives it to me. So Lisa could have told me all this stuff, and I'd be like, oh, wow, that's so cool. That's so inspiring or great. But then next year, I don't actually remember the details of it. Mm-hmm. But when I do this kind of study and I'm looking and digging for those answers, like, I remember the whole process. Like, oh, yeah, remember that website we looked at? Or, oh, remember when Genesis talked about this? And mm-hmm. they start to build and build and build, and all of these things that we've studied this way start to connect.
Right.
And we have spent how many months studying Genesis this year? We did two.
It was a 22-week study?
Yeah, 22 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds like a lot.
And it was so fun.
It's been amazing how much Luke has reminded us of Genesis.
Yeah, right.
And I don't feel like if we hadn't studied Genesis the same way, I don't think I would have remembered those details right. that Luke is trying to get me to remember.
Right.
Like, so I feel like when we invest and do the legwork ourselves and we work for it, it has more value.
There's such a sense of accomplishment that helps you remember the important things. Mm-hmm. That I found this or I figured this out.
And, and it's these epiphanies, right? These sudden moments of realization, like, where you connect the dots.
Yes.
Connecting the dots. It's this idea of precept upon precept, which is a biblical notion.
Yeah.
Right.
That we learn something and then something else builds on that.
It.
And then that builds on that.
And I do think that's important to talk about in this kind of study. It can feel boring even, I think, when you're first doing it, because it just is like, what does this have to do with my life?
It can feel boring even the 15th time you're doing it.
Totally.
Right.
There are parts that are just kind
tedious.
Of tedious, but it's information that builds into the foundation of what God is trying to reveal to us about himself. And that is a worthwhile investment.
Yeah.
I think so often our culture, and it's, you know, happened forever, it's not new, but we have a crisis. And we, in the moment, are like, I need Jesus right now. With God, all things are possible. And we quote it and we Instagram it and we flip through our Bibles looking for this moment of inspiration. And I feel like this study is so different. Not just this study, but this way of studying.
Yeah.
It is like investing in our spiritual bank and we're storing things up for when we need them instead of looking for what I need right now. It's not an ATM where I'm withdrawing cash for the day. It is, I'm putting this in because I know that I will face hard times, and when I do, I want to know who God is. And this kind of study is just continually banking, who is God? God is faithful. Mm-hmm. Who is God? God is trustworthy. Mm. Who is God? God loves me. Like,
He's merciful.
Mm-hmm. He has a plan for redemption. There is just 10,000 things that we're plugging away in our bank. And then when a hard time hits, we have it. And we don't, you know, I even read a story recently of a mom who had a sick child. She needed a heart transplant kind of out of nowhere. And she was in the hospital and it was a crisis and she did not have time to read her Bible. But she said in one of her Instagram posts, like, I'm so glad that I have faithfully been studying for years because I don't have time right now. But I have it in me, God's word.
Yeah.
And I know who God is right now when I don't have time to flip and find an inspirational quote. That was a worthwhile investment of my time. And I just, that has really stuck with me because I feel like that is like the heart of why we study this way is because we need to know who God is. And in that time is not the time to go looking.
And I'm gonna be a little pushy here.
Yeah.
Because to know who God is, means, yes, we have some experiences of God, but we know who he is through the word of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through diligent study of the word of God. And I think, you know, we all have the same 24 hours in each day. We all have the same 24 hours. And there are times in our lives where we do have to extend grace to ourselves, like this woman that you just that you just talked about.
Yeah.
But it may be an issue of prioritizing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, Mary, if you can do it with three little girls under the age of five,
who need you around the clock?
Yes.
We can do this. You know, I sometimes have to remind myself, okay, Erin has five kids. She's getting this done. Lisa, buck up. Like, sit down for the hour and finish
get
this.
Get off Netflix.
Right.
I'm not saying to get off Netflix. I'm just saying yes, all of us have that general. Right?
Like get off social
media.
We're
spending our time on something.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's really good stuff. Like, you know, making a meal for our family or working, or those are things we have to do in our day. And I'll be honest, the last 2 weeks, I just said to a friend yesterday, like, every day I wake up with this feeling of there is not enough hours today for me to get all the things done that I need
to
do.
And there's not.
There isn't. Like, there's just no way it's all going to get done. So I have, I mean, you said this earlier too, Mary, we have to prioritize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here's what's going to get done today.
Yeah. And the thing is that this work, knowing God and knowing who He is the most important thing that the believer can do with their mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. by far the most important way
it
to spend your time.
Might mean we don't get to watch our Hallmark Christmas movies.
Or have a clean house.
Right, or have a clean house.
Yeah. Or we might make a crock pot dinner instead of cooking for 2 hours right before dinner time. You know, it's just all... And I think that's so different for each of us. I think the point is find what works for you in your life. Maybe it's your lunch break. Maybe it's getting up early in the morning. Maybe I do mine a lot of time at night.
Yeah.
After I put my kids to bed because my brain...
You figure out what works for
you. That morning doesn't work for me. I don't remember it.
Yeah. When my kids were younger, I was sharing this with you guys earlier, when my kids were younger and they would always do their homework. Yeah. Well, all through elementary school and middle school, they would do their homework at the kitchen table. And that's when I would pull homework out my Bible study. And it wasn't, that was my study time. It was a little different than my prayer time, communion time with the Lord, my quiet time. Mm. I would pray through my study. Sometimes that's not true. Sometimes I just like buckle down and get
it's
it
work.
Done.
It's work. Yeah, it's like homework.
Right. Yeah. I'm color coding and all of these things. But the three of us agree that we need His word. Mm-hmm. We need His word every day. We need His word all the more when things are hectic and crazy, mm-hmm. like in this mm-hmm. Christmas season. God is the only constant. His mm-hmm. character never changes. We need to know mm-hmm. that character.
Absolutely.
That never changes.
And I think studying this way, it, like you said, connecting the dots. And we've seen that so much as we were studying Luke. And it was like, oh man, if we hadn't just studied the Old Testament, we would have missed
so much
of who God is and His faithfulness and His plan of redemption because we wouldn't have known what the plan was.
Yeah.
And I think that's been one of my takeaways is, like, I've recited Luke every year for the last probably 38 years of my life. And I didn't know because I didn't know the pre-story.
The backstory.
That's a better word. Mm-hmm. So what you said, precept upon precept, it's like all these times we invest in studying and we're banking this knowledge that may not even feel like it has anything to do with your life right now. Mm-hmm. But next year when you study something else, that might make what you're studying now really come together.
Right.
Because it just all builds, and it when we work for it, we retain it mm-hmm. and in a different way than someone just kind of spoon-feeding us a nice, warm, fuzzy devotional.
So much is
devotional,
said between the words.
Yes. So much we don't is said.
Realize. Between the words.
Between the words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, a couple times in this podcast we've said this kind of study and just to break this down we at Arise we truly believe that you have to figure out a way to study the word of God. The way that has worked for Aaron and Mary and I is an inductive Bible study method where you look at the context. We're looking at who, what, when, where, why. We're looking at keywords, making lists. Mm-hmm. We're letting scripture interpret scripture. Mm-hmm. And we're doing the hard work of that before we get to the application.
Yeah.
And we're always looking at what does this say about
God.
Yeah. So the idea of an inductive study is really breaking it down and then figuring out what the text says. So we're always asking, it's observation, interpretation, and application.
Yeah.
And we're asking ourselves as we go through, what does this say about God?
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Which is so, even in our Christian culture... not really the normal thing.
Right.
I mean, so much of what's available to us on the Christian market is very me driven. And you know, many pastors teach that way too, like how to apply what the Bible is saying to your life, which is great. We need to do that or we're not changed by it. But I do think it's incorrect. The Bible was not written to us. It is God's story. It is intended for us to know who
God
is.
It's for us.
Right. But it is not... Yeah, and I think
it's
that even
it's not about us.
It's not about us. It is for us.
It's about
it's not
his.
About us.
His, and this could be a whole separate podcast. I know. And so today we're talking about Advent, and he will. And so, you guys, if you're listening, and we're speaking this to ourselves too. If you don't finish by Christmas, well, first of all, we think you can.
Yes.
We think that you can buckle down and do it. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
You know, text us. Tell us what you're learning. Ask
leave
questions.
Leave a comment.
We might not be able to answer all of your questions, but by all means, keep at it. And, you know, this is supposed to end December 24th. That's when this Advent season, this season...
So Advent is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Traditionally... it's just an anticipation season. So, and it kind of is dual purpose. It's often to remember the anticipation that the people of Israel had for their Messiah coming. And that's what we're kind of looking toward. And that's really where we focused in is we are remembering what happened leading up to Christ's birth and his birth. Advent is also a looking forward because we are still in a season of anticipating Christ's second coming and him coming to, like, finish it.
Right?
So it's kind of dual purpose that way.
Israel was waiting for their Messiah. Luke tells us about that process of then when the Messiah came. And now, from that moment of Christ's birth, through his death and resurrection, we're now in a second
season of waiting.
For Christ's return.
But, so now, churches observe Advent. Typically, it's very traditional. It's 4 Sundays before Christmas. So sometimes it starts in November. We lucked out this year, and December 1st was a Sunday, so it was a perfect starting point. But it is typically 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, and different churches do it different way, but traditionally there's kind of a theme for each week of, like, joy, hope. You know, there's different things. Some churches light candles, and all has significant meaning that we don't have time to get into. But really, just that this is a season of anticipation of what God has done. And we really focused in, obviously, on Luke in... remembering all that God has done to give us this tremendous gift of salvation.
And so we only put the first 2 weeks on the website.
Yes.
And the second 2 weeks, they're going to come out. We think December 7th, we'll send out some stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
Or maybe the week 7th, after.
Maybe the 9th.
Maybe the 9th.
Yeah.
So December 9th. Anyway, just keep watching. You will get the next 2 weeks.
Installments.
Yeah, in time, part 2.
But if you're not done, Lisa said this earlier, like, the good news is Jesus has been born. He's alive. If you don't finish by Christmas...
We just want you to finish.
We just want you to finish.
Yeah.
Keep
going
to January.
Yeah.
Or however long it takes.
Amen.
We have one gal in our study who... I hope this doesn't make her feel bad saying this, but she has 6 little kids, and it is hard to keep the pace that is set by our studies, but one of the things we respect so much is that she just works
she
at her own pace.
And
if she's not done when we're all done, who cares?
Right.
Yeah, she's making progress.
All that matters is that she's still doing it.
Yeah, and
she's in the Word.
For some of our listeners... this might be the very first time that they have ever studied this way. And so if you don't get finished until January, we want you to try to finish. But if you don't get finished until January, just finish it.
Yeah.
Do it, and you will never read the first 2 chapters of Luke or think about the Christmas story the same
way.
And so I just want to take a minute to thank Aaron and Mary. So Aaron and Mary are busy. They are part of a Saturday morning Bible study where they study the Word of God inductively together. It's a group of women who have plenty of little kids. And so I admire...
Moms in a season of little ones at home.
And so I just admire what you do every week, day in, day out. And then to have this on top of this, a resource that you created to share with others so that all of us can get deep into the story of Jesus. And so to everyone who's listening, this is our season of waiting. Wait well. Dig into the Word. Finish strong. And if you haven't downloaded that resource already, everything is available on our website, ariseministriescollective.org, ariseministriescollective.org. And we'll be keeping you posted on social media as well.
Yeah.
Thanks
for listening.
Part 2 is coming.